So I am saying Happy New Year to everyone. I know that though we are small in number here in person, I celebrate the fact that we are one family gathered together for one worship of service, whether here in person or online. We are so glad all of us have this opportunity to be together in worship. It is the beginning of a brand new year. And yes, with that, we have the opportunity to engage in that annual litany of hitting that reset button of our lives, to let go of the things in the past that have not served us or others well, and taking time to reconsider what does serve ourselves and others, and most importantly, God well. It's that time when you and I are challenged to prioritize, to invest ourselves in what matters the most. Invest. This is our theme for 2023. Last year, who can tell me what last year's theme was? What was that, Pastor Diana?
Rebuild.
And so we are going to be talking all this year about what it means to invest for our lives, for our church, and for our mission for the future. And I cannot think of a better way to begin the new year than by investing ourselves in meeting Jesus again. This time through the lens of the widely acclaimed television show, The Chosen, a multi-year series on the life and ministry of Jesus and his disciples. Now, Myrna, Ron, and I have been fans since The Chosen began 3 years ago. And what really sets this show apart from anything else I've ever seen, what is really quite remarkable, is how they have taken the biblical story of Jesus and his followers used in scripture, first century culture, church tradition, and religious imagination in a way that makes the story more engaging and relatable. And what we're doing in this sermon series is nothing like we've done before. As we begin this new year, we are going to invite you to engage, to invest yourself in four different ways. First, we're going to take the themes of each episode. There's eight of them in season one. Each episode of season one, we're going to introduce them into the worship theme for the day. Then, we are inviting each of you to watch the episode for yourself. It's a free app. You can watch it on YouTube. There's lots of many ways. All you have to do is do a little search, and you will find it. But you can do that the easy way by coming up here on Sunday evenings and we watch the episodes together, which I highly recommend. We're going to have popcorn and drinks included, so it'll be a movie night out with your church family members. Or you can stay at home and watch either by yourself or preferably with some friends or your family. I can promise you from personal experience, you will benefit by talking about what you have seen with others. You need some time to debrief it. Each weekday, our online devotions will focus on learning more about the theme and the characters that you encounter on the screen. And finally, when you come to church next Sunday, Deborah Nazaro's here. She's our small group person that meets on Sunday mornings between worship services. We'll have a small group discussion so that you can share your thoughts and your questions and dig deeper on the theme together. I want to encourage each of you to do this because I can promise you that your experience with this series has the potential of really making you think not only about Jesus and his disciples as real people, but also how you think about yourself as one who has been called and chosen by God to follow Jesus. And what's the ROI? I know that John and Todd are going to be real proud of me to say that. The ROI, the return on investment. I believe that this investment will lead you to make faith and spiritual growth an even greater priority in your life as you experience Jesus in the next 8 weeks through this meeting. So let's get started as we pray together. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the story that we have of Jesus and his disciples in Scripture. We also thank you for the words of Scripture that we read each Sunday as we come to worship. And so today I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, I want to begin this morning, this first day of a brand new year, by acknowledging something. That part of being human is to experience pain. Part of being human is to experience pain. From the very beginning, we experience pain. The pain of childbirth, all the way through our lives. And all of us have painful things that have happened, whether they are physical or psychological or spiritual, that have been a part of the story of our lives. And none of us is immune to that pain. And in spite of the fact that we may nod our heads in agreement with that statement, we also hesitate to admit and to share our pain with others. In fact, when we come to Sunday's worship, we often say, how many times are we greeted? And we say, how you doing? And everybody says, oh, I'm doing just great. I'm doing fine. Why do we do that? Is it because we want people to think that we are in total control of our lives, that everything is just perfect? Is it because we think that to admit that we aren't okay is somehow unfaithful? Is it because we don't think others really care about us, so we're not willing to risk sharing that we are in pain? What keeps us from acknowledging our pain? You know, for some folks, they don't feel like they are worthy to come into the house of God. They feel unclean. And some of them literally are. I've spoken to more than one of our shower guests who don't feel comfortable coming to church on Sundays. Why? Because it's been a few days since they've taken a shower. But more often, it's not the physical condition at all that keeps people away. It's more the feeling of separation and pain inside that is keeping them outside the doors of the sanctuary. Sometimes church can feel like a very unsafe place for those who are carrying the burden of pain. Our scripture today from Isaiah shows up in one of the opening scenes of The Chosen, where a little girl is having a conversation with her Abba, her daddy, about not being able to sleep. He asks, what's wrong? She says, I'm scared. And her father says, did you say the words? What words? The words of Isaiah. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. These words, originally directed to the exiles of Israel who had lost hope for decades of being away from their homeland, Isaiah offers this promise of restoration and protection, which gave them hope in the midst of their fears. And when they returned to Israel, these words became part of a daily prayer of Israel's community of faith. The words. The little girl in this first scene of The Chosen is none other than Mary of Magdala, who will become a major character in Jesus' story in the Gospels. And though this particular scene of Mary from the TV show doesn't appear in Scripture, it sets up a plausible backdrop for what will happen. And that's because most, if not all of us, can relate to a child who is scared and who seeks the comfort of a parent. Haven't you ever woken up in the middle of the night after you've had a bad dream or you've had heard thunderbolt hit and it just wakes you up and you're frightened and you call out for comfort of your parents? The father doesn't just hug his child and he tells her everything's going to be all right. He reminds Mary of their faith through the words of Scripture. Now, we're going to come back to that in just a moment. But before we do, let's just take a step back and ask, what do we know about Mary? What do we know? Well, the Gospels give us some important information about this person. Probably the thing we might remember most about Mary Magdalene is that she was the first person to declare the good news of resurrection. You remember what she said? The disciples are gathered, they're huddled up in fear, and they're in the upper room locked away, and Mary comes in and says, I have seen the Lord. She's the one. But we also have a few other things that we are told about Mary in Scripture, as well as some things that have been attributed to her but are not in Scripture. What do we know? Well, maybe some of you have heard somewhere that Mary was a prostitute. Well, let me make it abundantly clear that there is no biblical reference to that, no evidence whatsoever that was the case. In fact, that proposition actually came as a result of a sermon series in the 6th century by Pope Gregory I, who pronounced Mary as a sinful woman. And what he actually did was to put other stories together that talk about an unsavory, unnamed woman and another Mary, and put them all together and attributed them all to Mary Magdalene. He was wrong, but the damage was done. On the other hand, Dan Brown's novel, The Da Vinci Code, resurrected a very old and popular theory that Mary Magdalene was actually Jesus' wife. Well, we don't have any evidence of that in Scripture either. So what do we know? Actually, we know just a little, much like we have on most of the other disciples. We have mentions of their names, but their backstories are often left to our religious imagination. And yet with Mary, we do know a bit more than just the mention of her name. Listen to these words from Luke chapter 8. Soon afterwards, Jesus went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. So, what does this tell us? One of the things that we know about Mary Magdala is that she experienced great pain in her life. We are told that she was possessed by demons, 7 of them. Now, scholars have hypothesized that perhaps the number here refers to the number of times that Mary was having demons cast out of her. She had them 7 times cast out of her. While others suggest that the number 7 is related to the number used in Scripture, indicating the completeness of the severity of her possession. We don't know for sure exactly what it means, but we do know this. Mary was quite troubled. We know that demon possession was often attributed to what today might be called a physical or a mental health challenge. And so to reflect on this as some kind of consuming anxiety disorder, even from the time of her childhood, as you will see in the first episode of The Chosen, is plausible. And perhaps, as the story unfolds in the TV series, Mary had become a victim of some kind of abuse or trauma. Whatever the problem, Mary was consumed by it. It had a hold on her, and she could not release herself from it. She needed help. She needed to be rescued. And that leads us to a question this morning. What do we need rescuing from? What do we need to be delivered from? I can think of 2 main areas on this New Year's Day that we might consider as we think about that question. First, we might need to be rescued from problems that we have created. We need to be delivered from things that we've done and subsequently suffering consequences from. Maybe we have had some poor decisions that have led into bondage, like overwhelming debt or sickness by not caring for our bodies as the temple of the Holy Spirit, as Paul calls it. Maybe we've sinned or we've missed the mark of the life that God intends for us. Maybe we've gone on our own way and we've really messed up some things for ourselves. And while our choices have led to consequences, the deliverance that we really need is not some kind of magical removal of the consequence. No, what we need is to come to terms with what has happened and seek God's forgiveness. Because unless and until you and I do that, we cannot truly be free to move forward. But then there's also the pain that we sometimes carry over things that are not of our own doing, that are not our fault. Sometimes we have pain associated with experiences that may be physically or emotionally or spiritually destructive that have been imposed upon us by nothing we have done ourselves. Abuse, accidents, anxiety, all of these can put us into a place of entrapment and bondage as we experience fear or rage or bitterness or victimization. But here's the thing. Regardless of the pain that we experience is a result of our own choices or not, the good news is that we need to hear again and again that God wants life for you and for me. The good news is that we can all have a meaningful future, whether we have messed up in the past or something totally beyond our control has happened to us. And maybe the reason that we don't know a whole lot about Mary's specific problem, what demons that she had in her life, is because that's not what's most important. What is most important for the gospel writers is that Jesus delivered her and it changed the trajectory of her life. And that's what I think the good news is for you and for me on this first day of 2023. I think we need to start this new year with the understanding that no matter what we may be struggling with, no matter what the pain, you and I have a Savior. We have a deliverer who came in the flesh and who walked among us, who loves us, who redeems us, who calls each one of us by name. And today, if you and I will respond to his invitation, to his call, and invest our lives in him, like Mary, your life and my life can take on a whole new trajectory. The question is, will you say yes? Are you ready today to offer yourself just as you are, a human being who has experienced pain, who may even be dealing with pain right now? Are you ready to offer your life, your pain, to God, to redeem it, to deliver you, and to offer you a new beginning? Are you ready to hear and respond to his word? I have called you by name. You are mine. On this New Year's Day, 2023, may we invest ourselves in this promise. May it be so for you and for me. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Amen.